firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
It's a great day to study God's word on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. Welcome aboard the Bible Bus as we finish our study of the book of Philippians with a powerful message from Dr. J. Vernon McGee on chapter 4, verses 13 to 23. Now, as you open your Bible and find your place, let's share a few letters from our fellow passengers. First, we've got an email. This is from a listener named Greg. I'm a canine handler for a private company. I am partnered up with an explosives detection dog, and we are deployed in Iraq. We spend our days clearing the streets and working checkpoints to ensure that no bombs are planted or get through. This is a job that I feel the Lord has led me to. With the skills I gained in the military and in law enforcement, I was recruited to join a team working in Iraq. I prayed about it, and the Lord laid it on my heart to go and do some good in a land where there are many unreached people and Christians are persecuted. Each day when I get off duty, I look forward to listening to the Bible Bus podcast. Thank you so much for this very needed ministry. Isn't that a terrific email? Well, thanks for writing, Greg. It's a joy to have you aboard with us. And then next we hear from Jamie in Virginia. I became a Christian at the age of 4, 51 years ago. I've been listening to Through the Bible since the early 70s. I even had the opportunity to meet and speak with Dr. McGee in person a number of times during my teens. The program was a source of light and strength through my childhood, college education, marriage, and parenting three children. And it still is, as I work serving families in crises and began moving toward retirement. It's amazing that you are still feeding me daily. I find as the world grows darker, I need you more than ever before. Through every possible up and down, joy and sorrow, you have been there every day. Your proclamation of truth bolsters my foundation and my courage. I praise God for you and pray for you. Thank you all for faithfully carrying the good news to the whole world, but especially to this sinner, saved by the blood of Christ and fed daily by his word. Until we meet someday in the presence of our Lord and Savior, his blessings and protection be upon you. Well, thanks, Jamie. It's so true. As the world does grow darker, we need God's word more and more. And then here's an email. This is from Myesha in California. I began listening to you after I gave my life to Christ in 2006. At first, I didn't want to think about Dr. McGee's unusual country accent, but the way he taught the Bible compelled me to tune in each day. His voice began to reassure me that I was among friends as I listened. I was homeless at the time, and I slept in the back of my car. It was Jesus and Dr. McGee that got me through those tough moments in my life. Now I'm on my third trip with a permanent seat on the Bible Bus. Well, I'm definitely saving your seat, Myesha. Thanks for writing. And then our last note comes from Luz in Wisconsin. I give thanks first to God for the opportunity to hear his word and to you for such beautiful teaching. Having the opportunity to learn through your studies has encouraged me to resume my daily search to know God. 1,000 thanks for loving us and helping us learn more about our Father. I will be listening in Spanish, so please keep broadcasting. So what's your story? How's God using our time and his word in your life? Well, we'd certainly love to hear from you, so you can leave a message on our Facebook page, you can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, and you can also write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Now it's time to begin our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to travel through your word. We pray that the teaching that we hear today will make its way into our lives and make us more like you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we conclude Philippians, and this has been a very important book, and I've given it, as you have discovered, that kind of attention, because we've actually had now 18 studies in this little epistle of Philippians. And that's how important we felt that it is. And in this five-year program, we've been able to spend that much time. We saw first the philosophy of Christian living expressed in one sentence, for me to live, Christ, to die, gain. High philosophy. I wish today I could say honestly that that's my philosophy of living, and I don't mean something I agree to because I agree to it, but something that I have found that has brought me to the highest plane. But I'm pressing on to the mark. We find in chapter 2 the pattern for Christian living, and let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? A mind of humbleness, lowliness of mind. And the Lord Jesus had that kind of mind, and the Spirit of God alone can reproduce that in your heart and my heart today. Then in chapter 3, the prize for Christian living. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here in chapter 4, we have the power for Christian living. And that's very important, to have power. We saw the source of power is joy. The secret of power is prayer. The sanctuary of power is where you and I can get alone with the Lord Jesus, where we can make our confession, open our heart to Him, have Him cleanse us, because He's girded with a towel whereby He washes not only the feet, the minds, the hearts, the eyes, the ears of those that are His, that we might have fellowship with Him. That's the place we need to go to. And now we have the satisfaction of power. Men are power hungry. That's the reason men are in politics. The reason that men are in the military. The reason today men are in colleges. The reason that men are in business. They want to be in a place of power where they can exercise power. But, you know, power is a dangerous thing. And man has unlocked some of the secrets that God has permitted him to unlock. And it reveals how dangerous man has become. And it's moving man toward an antichrist. He'll be the most dangerous individual the world has ever seen, because he's going to be sitting at a desk that has a button there, and he can press it. He could destroy the world. And I tell you, when a man gets in a place like that, he's going to run things. Power. And it's a dangerous thing. Now, what about the power of the believer? What is the satisfaction of that power? And Paul now says in verse 13, I can do all things not through Christ. That's all right, but I mean, let's take the preposition that Paul uses. I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I can do all things. Don't stop there, because you can't do all things. You can do all things in Christ. And that means in the context of the will of Christ for your life. Whatever He has for you to do, He supplies the power. Whatever gift that He gives you, He'll give you the power to exercise that gift. And that is, after all, what a gift is. A gift is a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. And therefore, power is in this context of the will of Christ. You're in Christ. As long as you function in Christ, you'll have power to do what He wants you to do. Now, I think I can illustrate that with a very homely illustration. As many of you already know, I'm a train man rather than a plane man. I'm plane, P-L-A-I-N, but not P-L-A-N-E. I don't go for the planes. I have to use them, and I find myself flying all over this universe. I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish I could go there by train. And it's gratifying to see the train come back. So I want to give you an illustration of a train. Between Los Angeles and Pasadena, right here where I live, there comes through here a train known as the Super Cheap. And it goes from here to Chicago, from Chicago here. Now, that Super Cheap is a tremendous train in my book. Believe me, I think the Santa Fe ought to do something about all this good publicity I give them, or Amtrak, or whoever's running it. And I enjoy that train, and I've noticed that it goes by with tremendous power. And it seems to me like that Super Cheap says when it goes by, I can do all things in the track between Chicago and Los Angeles that a super chief is supposed to do. And it can do it. Goes over the highest point that any train goes over in this country, way out yonder, Raton Pass. As you come out of Colorado into New Mexico or vice versa. And it's a high point, and that train slows down, but it doesn't hesitate. It just goes right to the top and down on the other side, then just tears out through those mountains. It can do all things. Now suppose that that super chief would say this: for years, I have been taking people back and forth, Los Angeles, Chicago, Chicago, Los Angeles. And very frankly, this gets a little monotonous. I notice that a group of people get off at Flagstaff, Arizona now, and they go over there to the Grand Canyon. They all seem to enjoy seeing it. Now, I've been coming by here for years, and I've never seen Grand Canyon. I wonder if it wouldn't be nice sometime if I took out across the desert here, went over and took a look for myself. Now, I don't know that the super chief ever said that, but I do know this, that one time, coming out of Winslow, Arizona, coming this way, that super chief went off the track, and it went off the track on the side toward Grand Canyon. Fact of the matter is, I'm not sure it was headed for Grand Canyon, but I'm here to tell you, it never did make it to Grand Canyon. Never did. It was a wreck. That super chief, as long as it was in the track, as long as it was doing the thing it was supposed to do as a super chief, it could do all things a super chief could do, up and down and up over a mountain, down in the valley, across the desert, and into the plains. It could do it. It had no problem at all. But the minute it left the track, it was a wreck. And it was a mess. I came along there that time, and it was just, oh my, there were cars turned on the side. It just didn't look very good. And it was helpless. It was hopeless the minute it left the track. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. I can do all things in Christ. That's the track the believers to run on. And long as we're in that track of the context of the will of Christ for our lives, we're a member of His body. He's the head. We're to function there. And Paul says, I can do all things in Christ. I can't do all things. After all, if I could jump like a grasshopper could jump, I'd go out of this building and could jump over it. But I can't jump over it. In fact, I don't jump very high anymore. When I was in school, I was the high jumper, but I can't do that anymore. But a grasshopper does pretty well in his jumping, but I can't. I can't do all things, but I can do all things in Christ. He's the one that strengthened me, Paul says. He'll strengthen you, enable you, give you the enablement to do the thing that's in His will in the context of your Christian life. And that, my friend, is a tremendous satisfaction. That's the satisfaction of power, that He's not putting into my hands or your hands uncontrolled power. He hasn't put an atom bomb in my hand. He could, but He hasn't. He has, however, said that as a member of the body of Christ, if you'll function there, I'll give you the enablement. You'll be able to do what you're supposed to do. That's what Paul means when he uses that expression here. Now, will you notice, he says after this, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul is getting right down to the nitty-gritty here. And he had made it very clear to them before, you remember, he says, I know how to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In other words, Paul says, I am right where I ought to be. Where was he? In prison, in Rome. And you remember the Philippians had said to him, oh, brother Paul, how tragic it is that you are in prison. The gospel is being hindered, and the gospel is being held back, and you're in prison, and it's so tragic. Paul says, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, I'm right where God wants me to be. And there is no satisfaction like that, my Christian friend. You can go on drugs if you want to, and you can use the gimmicks of this world, and you can take these little courses. Oh, my, how popular they are today. Everybody feels like if they take a little course, that solved the problem. My friend, you don't solve them like that. As we've said before, it's only in the context of the Word of God. And the satisfaction of power is that when I'm in the will of God, I'm going to be able to do what He wants me to do. And that what happens to me or to you will be for the very best if you're in Christ and you are operating in the context of the will of God for your life. All this mattered. If I learn how to say this and do this and act this way, it's just going to solve all my problems. My friend, you can be a psychological misfit and be one of the sweetest little things in the world and turn out to be the biggest hypocrite that there is. Don't you want reality today? Why not come God's way? Why not forget all this little gimmick business? And why not get down to a serious study of the Word of God? Not just the Gospel of John. That's wonderful. But move on to something else. There's 65 other books in the Bible. Why not get the total Word of God, and you'll get the total will of God for this life? And therefore, you will have a basis on which you can operate. And it's a joy, and it's a satisfaction, and it is a sheer delight to know that you're in the will of God, doing what God wants you to do. And I don't care how many little gimmicks that you come up with. If you are not going to find yourself in the will of God, doing God's will, then, my friend, you may be able to make a gimmick work for a few weeks. I asked a fellow that paid out quite a bit of money to take a certain course, and he took it. And he said, oh, it's just helped me. It's helped my family. Well, I said, wonderful. I said, how long ago was that? Well, he said, several months ago. But I said, you emphasized to me that right after you took the course, it just revolutionized. Well, he said, it did. Well, I said, how is it going now? Well, he said, we're just about back where we were before I took the course. I said, well, then, apparently whatever it was didn't work. It wasn't the way. I said, how much time do you really spend in the Word of God? My friend, that's the answer. And it's so simple that I'm not able to charge for it. Just not able to do that, and I can't work out a bunch of little gimmicks. So all I can say to you, why don't you get to the Word of God? Why don't you study the Word of God? And therefore, Paul is able to tell these Philippians that loved him so, why he says, what's happened has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. I've known how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And I'll be honest with you, I wish I could say that at all times. Things are going well. I do pretty well. And it's quite interesting where the Lord put me when I made the notes on Philippians. I was up in Boston area. Boston, Massachusetts, a place called Ayr. My son-in-law was in the service, and Miss McGee and I went up there to visit my daughter and my son-in-law. And while we were there, it was, I think, in February, a snowstorm came that paralyzed that entire area. I tell you, on the TV, cars stranded everywhere, people going into houses of individuals had to be taken in like that, schools, and I couldn't even get out of the place. I couldn't even get through by telephone to find out whether I had all my reservations, whether they were good or not, just stranded. And I couldn't get out of the motel, and from the motel, my daughter's apartment, back and forth, I went there and paced up and down. And I found it a little difficult to be content. But it was during that time that I wrote the notes on Philippians. It wasn't until after I found out the Lord is saying, well, now you're going to tell people that in whatever state there is to be content. And I want you to know I'm going to put you in a state where you're going to find it difficult to be content. And I must say that, oh, to be in the will of God, friends. How important that is. And will you notice here now, he moves on. Verse 15, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." This is a church that was a jewel. And there are churches like that across this country, wonderful churches that have a heart and have a wonderful fellowship. And they're doing wonderful things for God. God's blessing them in a marvelous, wonderful way. And this church was close to the Apostle Paul, and they were the ones that sent support to him. Paul was their missionary. Wouldn't you love to have had Paul as your missionary and been supporting him? Now he says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now you remember Paul had to leave Philippi post haste. He took French leave. He had to get on the way, and they were going to stone him there, going to put him to death. And he got over in Thessalonica and in trouble again, and no one was helping Paul, but the church in Philippi did. And he says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And I think that church in Philippi has been getting dividends from that day down to the present time. Right now, we're studying the Epistle to the Philippians, and someday, whatever profit comes from this study, they're in on it. They're going to get a dividend because they got stock in the Apostle Paul. All friends to have part in getting out the Word of God. Now, will you notice? "But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." No, the high priest went in and offered incense and are put incense on an offering. And might have scented with a sweet smell. And that's what your gift is to God when it's given in the right way. Now he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I believe that God blesses those. Now he's not promised to bless us with financial or physical things, but he does it. That's a surplus. That's something he does just because he does things with loving kindness. Now he says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." May God get the glory. Now he thinks of something. "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus." Salute each one of them personally for me. "The brethren which are with me, they greet you." Isn't that lovely? "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Why, there were those of the nobility, patricians, in the household of Caesar. And they were Christians, and they wanted to be remembered to the Philippians. Now he closes with this grand benediction. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. And I close with that benediction.
What a great way to close this study on Christian joy from the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I hope that you've been blessed by our 3-week study in Philippians. I know I certainly have been. It's a small book, but an important one. Now on Monday, the Bible Bus begins a new adventure in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. So let's read ahead and take a look at the first couple of chapters and then ask God to prepare our hearts to hear his truth about what really matters in life. I know that we'll discover in our study that what really satisfies us in life is not what most people think. If you'd like to read God's Word before each of our daily studies, download the broadcast bookmark with the schedule. You can find it at ttb.org/bookmark. And while you're there, sign up to receive our monthly print newsletter and you'll automatically receive the bookmark by mail. Now for more great teaching by Dr. McGee, join me for the Sunday sermon titled "Over the Moon, Under the Sun." As the Bible Bus travels through Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we'll hear an overview of the luxurious life of King Solomon, who searched everywhere under the sun for satisfaction. It's a sermon as relevant today as it was 1,500 years ago. If you want to listen online, or if you want to see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit us at ttb.org. And before we go, I want to thank you for your willingness to pray for Through the Bible's impact around the world. This weekend, some people will hear the good news of Jesus Christ for the first time. Others will receive encouragement from God's Word that will make them a light for Christ in their very dark world. Still others will grow deeper in their faith. We count on your partnership in prayer to help make this happen. To find out more about how you can pray with us for specific regions of the world, visit ttb.org/pray, or to provide a tank of gas to maybe help keep the Bible bus rolling in your neighborhood and around the world, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, as we close today, I also leave you with the benediction that Paul gave to the Philippians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all until we meet again on Monday.
Jesus made it all, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.